It's all about grace. But let's read the passage that we've got for today, which is in Matthew 13, 47 to 52, the parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Now Henry will come and speak and explain it all to us.
For some time we've been looking through all the parables. So if I will put you to test this morning to mention all the parables, who will pass my test? Can anyone be bold enough to mention all the... Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you. But, you know, as we've been looking through the parables, the kingdom parables of Jesus Christ, you know, I've myself really sort of received deeper knowledge about some of the things I've been reading over the years. I must confess, this period. And when we read some of these parables, you know, generally, parables illustrate important truths about the teachings of Jesus Christ. And, you know, a parable, as they say, is an extended metaphor which goes on to drive home some deeper truths of the scripture. So these parables illustrate some of Jesus' most important teachings. And you will find that almost all of the parables, if not all of them, are based on the common everyday events that made up the first century life, like fishing, for example, farming, trade, sheep and shepherds, and so on. So I was thinking this morning, if Jesus were to be in the United Kingdom now, maybe he would talk something from fish and chips, and he would talk to us, you know, from football, from weather. He would use some of the things that we already know, potatoes, you know. Yeah, he will use some of those to drive home his point. So, and I have said that to say this, we cannot adequately understand the parables like the early hearers, all right? The original hearers of Jesus, they understood these parables. But you know, for us to really understand, we have to understand the cultural and the literal setting of these people, and again, relate that with the spiritual meaning of these parables. When Jesus was preaching, for example, many people heard him, but not many followed him. In fact, many people were very angry with him, and many rejected him, as we know. We are coming to the Easter period. So, during Jesus' time, the Israel and the Holy Land were still part of the Roman Empire. And the Roman laws and customs were being imposed on the Jewish people. And we know and we read that Jews didn't like the Romans. And there was always a great tension between them. For example, we know from reading the Bible and also from history that the emperor Tiberius Julius Caesar Augustus was the one who was in charge at that time. who succeeded his father, Caesar Augustus, who was the first emperor of Rome. And at that time, he had, as they do, he had a prefect or a governor who was overseeing that area by the name of Pontius Pilate. And through him, the Caesar and the Roman Empire instituted a system of taxing the people. They placed high and huge and harsh taxes on them, on the people of Galilee, for example, Samaria and Judea. And then this left a lot of them in poverty. And so Jesus came along challenging the social political norms of the Roman rule. And so when he came around, people were expecting a revolt, physical revolt, to the kingdom, and they were expecting a kingdom to oppose the kingdom. And so Jesus comes along bringing the message of the kingdom. And people were saying, oh yeah, finally we're going to have someone who will come along and will fight these guys and liberate ourselves. But he was talking about something spiritual, not something physical. And so the parable we're going to look at this morning is the last of the parables in Matthew 13. And afterwards, Jesus now goes on to talk about the fact that a prophet has no honor in his hometown, all right? You'll be honored everywhere else, but not your own hometown. But this is the final parable that Jesus brings in Matthew chapter 13, as we've been looking at this great chapter in Matthew. And we're going to look a little bit deeper, as Ruth has suggested, in this parable. Now, relating what the everyday people did in the early time and what Jesus meant spiritually to us. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. So it's all about the kingdom of heaven, not a kingdom to revolt against the Roman rule, not something physical, not something natural. So don't think that I've come to lead you against the ruling class, but I'm talking about something out of here. And remember, the kingdom of heaven talks about a lifestyle. The kingdom of heaven is about a sphere. The kingdom of God, like I said last Sunday, the same thing as kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, talks about a way of life. And I will come to that a little bit. And I was led to do this from all that Ruth has brought to us and the hymns to talk about the subject of justification. It's been ringing in my heart all through that, as you've been saying, and also through the hymns. So I'll close by talking about what really is justification, because that's the only gateway, that's the only door, that's the only passport to the kingdom of heaven, which is not a place, but a lifestyle. It's like a net that was laid down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. I want you to have your eyes on that. All kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected good fish in baskets. Have your eyes also in the good fish. Good fish. And put them in a basket, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. And I'll relate this before I close. How he talks about the good and the bad. And then he said, no, I'm not talking about good and bad. I'm talking about the wicked and the righteous. Because some people might say, all right, nobody is good except you. But now he says, wait a minute. I'm not talking about you being good or not, but I'm talking about justification. I will go to that. This is how it will be at the end of the age. Then 50 says, and they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he asks the question, have you understood all this? Jesus asks, yes, they replied. And then he gives them a challenge. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Now, once again, I'd like us to read the verse 47 again, please, together. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the net and caught all kinds of fish. There are three different ways or types of fishing there were in those days. And before I come to the nets that Jesus talks about, I'd like to mention that, as you see those pictures up there, three different types of fishing in those days. While I was growing up, I was used to that first one, the hook and the line. I did it a lot. You know, we'll go to the little stream in our village, especially when it rains or during the night season. And then we'll catch some nice fish and come home and make very nice dishes with them. So during the early time, they used hook and line. And also, they used ordinary nets. And also, I will come to that, the drag net. Now, when you read from Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, you read about the instruction Jesus gave to Peter, right? When they were needing to pay their taxes. And that was what Peter used at that time, the hook and the line to fish. I'll read it for us, Matthew 17, 27. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. So the hook and the line were used by the early people for fishing. And also they used a simple net. Now, there are three words in the Greek, in the Bible, for net. There are three words. Just bear with me. I'm trying to drive home a point with our parable today. The first one is amphibletron. And that is the one that most times a very simple, smaller kind with some weights at the side or the end of it, so that when you throw it in, it can spread out and then sink inside and goes deep in the sea. And when a person draws maybe both ends, then you have all your fish in them. Sometimes it might be a circular thing with some card and some, you know, something that will make it float one side and get deep the other side. And that was what they use in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, if you have your Bible with you. And I'll read it for us. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net. They were casting the amphibletron, the smaller net, into the sea because they were fishermen. Let me give you a sneak peek. This is what we're going to be basing our evening service on, this particular one. This particular net, but they were simple nets. But the other type of net is in the Greek, they call segene, which is now what Jesus is using. I'm driving home a point now, which is the drag nets or what they call trawl nets, right? So it will be something, maybe sometime reaching half a mile, something attached to a boat or even two boats, and the boats will drag the nets and it will catch all kinds of fish. It will catch sometimes sea creatures, it will catch dead ones, live ones, it could catch everything. And when it does that, they now come out to the shore and then have the duty of separating the good ones from the bad ones. This is what Jesus was talking about. That net was the one Jesus was talking about, that the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, that when it goes in the sea, it catches all kinds of people in them. People who feel they are good, people who feel they are not so good. People who are self-righteous, people who are just dragging along every Sunday, every ministry day, every service day, all kinds of fish. That was what Jesus used in this parable, the sargene. And there is another word for net, which is dictuon. But Jesus used in this parable this one, the sargene one. So the kingdom of heaven is like a place that everyone belongs to. The good and the not so good. The righteous, the self-righteous, and everything. There are three main things before I now round off with some of the things I want to say that this parable speaks about. Three main areas of this parable. Number one is that Jesus was telling the church that you need to spread the gospel without discrimination. Now, I have done all that to let us understand this, because Jesus says a dragnet doesn't discriminate, it goes to the sea, takes in all that he sees. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like, go along, preach the gospel, do all you can to everyone you can, wherever they come from, whoever they think they are, bring them in, bring them in. That's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. And I feel that's the challenge he is giving us today. That if we must fulfill his words, we must spread this gospel wherever we go, everywhere we go, every opportunity we find. Don't mind if anyone listens or follows what you say. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead, do it. Invite people to the church. Befriend them with the mind of helping them along the way. Do all that you can. If they don't change, don't bother, because we are coming to that. There are people who will do the separating. Not you, not you. There are the people that will do the separation, not us. Number two, Jesus is also putting a warning that judgment is coming. Say with me, judgment is coming. Say it. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. But we are not there yet. We are not there yet. So don't judge anyone. It's not your duty to do that, because the net is still in the sea. Spiritually, the net, the dragnet, is still out there. It's not on the shore yet. Yes, it's not, because it's going to be there at the end of age. And the angels, remember, they are the ones that will do the sorting. So judgment is coming. It's not us to judge. Some people are going to do that. Our duty is to spread the gospel. Just spread the gospel. Leave the judgment. Who is right? Who is wrong? It's not for you to do. Just do the spreading. Just do the net. Forget about the judgment. But I feel that we should warn people kindly with enough grace that judgment is coming. Not to condemn, not to judge, but to warn people, remind people that judgment is coming. You know, people live their lives today. Sometimes we humans, we live our lives as if, you know, it's going to end with us. But judgment is coming. You know, people are humans. We are so selfish, so self-centered, so wicked naturally that sometimes we think it's all about us and we do all whatever we want to do. But Jesus says, judgment is coming. And I will go back to that passage again. If you have your Bible with you, I'll go back to that passage again. In verse 48, like I pointed out, it says, when it was full, the fisherman pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. Then they threw the bad ones away. Now, verse 49 and 40 and 50 explains verse 48. It gives it a different explanation. But this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come. Angels are the ones doing the separation. And who are they going to separate? Not the good and the bad. They're going to separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want anything like that for our family, for our friends, for people around us. We don't want any of that for them. So we have to warn people about the judgment. And we have to also prepare ourselves. And we do that not by our own effort, but by reliance, total reliance on the grace of Jesus Christ. So, the third thing I will close with, there are two or three things I will close with today. The third thing is the responsibility of edification. That's another key point in this parable. When Jesus asked them if they understood what he meant, and then he gives them the challenge to go and edify others. Now, a little exercise for us to read again from a slightly different translation. Can we read, please? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a nest that was cast into the sea. It gathered all kinds of fish. When it was full, they drew to the shore, sat down, and gathered the good into baskets, but threw the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angels will come, separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace. There will be a gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understand all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore, every who is disciple for the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is master of the household. And old. When you look at verse 51, it says, have you understand all these things? They said, yes, Lord. So, G would have said, all right, case closed. All right, you understood what I said? No. But he gives them a rather different instruction. He says to them, therefore, every scribe who is discipled for the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is master of the household, who brings out of his treasure new and old things. Now, you've been listening to me. I have discipled you. Now, it is your duty to now go out and spread what I have told you. But remember, as you said in new, don't forget about the old. As you preach the message of the kingdom of heaven, remember, you also have the duty of pointing people back to what was. Because without understanding what was, you wouldn't be able to understand what is. So you have been listening to me. You have the responsibility of edifying other people. Now, how do things work with the dragnet and the kingdom? Number one, I'd like us to, you know, point to these five things. And if you're writing down, yeah, you can write them down. How things work with the dragnet and the kingdom, like I've explained to us a little bit what Jesus meant, is that it catches all kinds of fish. And then you have understood what I meant by that. It catches all kinds of fish. So when it catches all kinds of fish, we shouldn't bother about that, but we should go on spreading the gospel. And Jesus is the one that does the justification. Romans 5:9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So to be justified, to be among the righteous ones, is sort of to be redeemed from the curse of the law and given the righteousness of God. There was a time I did a study on this, and I discovered that this is just talking about God's own righteousness, not what I have done, but accepting what he has done for me, which in the Greek word is dikaiosune, which means right standing with God, standing in the place of God, not for what I have done, but accepting what he's done for me. He's done something, I just need to accept it. You know, as salvation, we are saved by grace. How? By grace. By what? Grace. Just by grace. And grace redeems us from the curse of the law. It's something that, you know, it's a deeper for us to understand. So we are coming with a guilt, but the blood of Jesus washes us and he pays the debt fully on the cross. And then he separates us from the evil, from the bad, and then puts us in the place of the righteous. Not for what we have done, not for what the fish did, but it is the angels that now does that, but we have to accept what we do. But after that, we believe we'd have to go on the journey of sanctification, all right? Which is our daily walk with Christ. You know, there are some times you feel unworthy. You will feel like, oh, I've said something, I've done something, am I still saved? If you have accepted Christ, even though sometimes you make some mistakes, no, you are still saved. But what you are now is to walk with Christ in sanctification, which is a daily walk. And it's not complete until we see him face to face. There has been things I've been grappling with, but I know that I'm on a journey with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ every day sanctifies me. Number two thing I want to point to us, that, you know, some people are just content being in the net. And, you know, the net collects everything, but not everything collected is kept, isn't it? Not everything collected is kept. I just want to challenge us. I just want to encourage us not just to be content being in the net. Try to find your gifts. Go on a little bit. Use it. It might be simple smiles to people. It might be walking, you know, serving on the rota. It might be welcoming people. It might be going out, speaking the gospel. It might be telling a friend, come along to a church. Come along to a service, come along to our Easter event, come along to the evening praise and worship, come along. It might just be that. It might just be helping someone by the way. It might not be preaching, it might not be leading. Not every one of us will do everything, but we've got something we can do. don't just be content in just being in the net, that you've made it, I've made it, I've made it, and then you sit quiet. No, just be useful to Jesus Christ. Number three, some people are in the kingdom, but the kingdom are not in them. It's not in them. There has been, all through the Bible, I will point to us, I won't read it, but I will mention to you, in Mark chapter 14, verse 10, we read about Judas, and in other places that Judas betrayed Jesus. He was part of the 12, yet he missed it. How did he miss it? He has been there all the time. Some people might be in the church, but they might not be living the right life. And also, Ananias and Sapphira, we remember them in Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. He says they sold a piece of property, but they lied about it. They lied about it. They were in the church, but the church was not in them. They were in the kingdom, but the kingdom was not in them. And also we see Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul complained about this guy, that he's left him because he was interested in what he could get. You know, what is in it for me? Paul, what is in it? We are going to Samaria. How much are you going to pay me? We're going to this place. What is in it for me? He was interested in what he would get. Number four, there are two separations in this parable. The first one talks about evangelism, like I said, but the second one talks about judgment. The first is by the net. The second one is at the shore. And then the final one is that real separation will only take place at the end of the age. And who will do that? Who will do that? The angels, not the fishermen. The fishermen will just gather the naturally the fishermen that you see, but the separation, God knows his standard. We don't know the standard for sorting the fish, but only Jesus knows. But you know my prayer. My prayer is that we all will be counted worthy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we all will be counted worthy. Let's make sure that we use our gifts to try to edify other people. Let's try. And I will close with Ephesians chapter 4. He says from verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. I just want you to listen as I read and also look at there, because I'll tell you why I'm reading this. For the equipping of the saints, that's the reason. Let's read that in your mind as I read now. He gave this fivefold ministry. Why did he do that? He gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Who does the work of ministry? The saints. Who does the equipping? The fivefold people. And the saints are all of us. Right? Not just the prophets, the apostles, the teachers. They are part of the saints. But their duty is to equip us like Jesus did with the disciples. And then in verse 51, he asked them, have you now understood what I'm saying? Yes, they do. Now equip others. And together, we will do the work of ministry. The reason why we are doing all these things is for we to do the work of ministry. So the work of ministry is not for the pastor alone, I should say. It's not for the leaders alone. But they help us, the leaders help us to equip us, to encourage us. And we all will now do the work of ministry. And the work of ministry has got different sides to it. We have something to do. You can do something. May the Lord help us to find our place in the kingdom. And may the Lord help us to serve with whatever gifts we have. As I was praying this morning, as I close, I feel the Spirit of God asking me to do something I have never done in this place. And I'll tell you. And I have been praying, and I found the Spirit of God asking me to throw it out there before I pray today, to ask anyone who wants to be part of the kingdom. As we pray, we will all close our eyes, and we ask that people will identify. I will be the only person seeing that, and I will pray for everyone that will do that. And there are people listening also to this message on our website. And I want you also, if you are listening on our website and anytime in the future, I want you, if you want to belong to the kingdom, to say the following prayers we're going to say. So let us pray. I would like us to pray. Just be in a prayer mode with all our eyes closed. We've listened to all that we've said this morning. And we are told to warn people about the coming judgment. And I don't want any of those for any person. So I'm going to give a little opportunity for someone who wants to ask that Jesus will come into my heart. I want to be part of the kingdom. I don't want to be part of the judgment. I want to be among the righteous ones. And from today, the Lord will help me to walk day by day with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ will help me, cleansing me every day. I would like you to do a little identifying yourself just by the raising up of your hands, and I will pray. And like I said, I know people are listening on our website. And if you want to also be part of this kingdom, to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, you want to be part of this lifestyle, it just needs you to say yes. That's all. To say yes. Leave the rest to him. He will take it out. He will sort it out. He will take care of your life, and he will help you along the way. I will pray now. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our Lord is an awesome Lord. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And as we are all in a prayer mode, all our eyes closed, if you really want to be part of the kingdom, and if you are listening to us on the website and you want to be part of the kingdom, you want to be saved by the blood of Jesus, say with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from all my sins. From today, I want to be your child. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to follow you from today. Accept me in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I want to be yours forever. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these ones making this commitment today to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, you have given us the charge to encourage people and to spread the net of your gospel. Lord, we ask that you will help them to live the life. There are challenges we know every day, but we know the grace is sufficient for us. Lord, I pray that you will release abundant grace to these people as they make these commitments to you, not to us as a church, but to you. Lord, I hand them over unto you, Lord. I ask that your strength from above will help them and they will walk with you day by day. I know there might be temptations, but with Jesus, you will show the way. Heavenly Father, we pray when we are tempted, help us, Lord, to overcome. Help us, Lord, in our weakness. Lord, help us when we are down and out, that we will charge up with the strength of the Lord. Lord, for all of us also that have made this commitment years ago, we still need your grace, Lord. Every day that we live, the grace upon us, Lord, will help us to overcome the evil one. We pray for ourselves, Lord. Be it unto us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.